Hello and welcome back to Cooking Our Books. I'm Pamela and with me is my sister Helen.
Hi, Pam. Hi.
Today we're cooking up a Swiss roll. So my memories of Swiss rolls in my life, let me think back. Swiss rolls were a bit of a standard in our local bakeries, and where we grew up in Sydney was very multicultural. And in the 80s and 90s, a lot of Chinese and Vietnamese bakeries, amazing, amazing bakeries, would have a great selection of cakes. And there was always a couple of Swiss rolls in the display cabinet. Always, I remember, wrapped in cling wrap. And that's probably for a really good reason, because they are moist. This is a moist, thick sponge filled with cream. And there was always a chocolate, usually a sponge with jam and cream, but they were always kind of there and part of the selection, and certainly something you would eat, I think, at like a morning tea with adults. I don't think it was much of a kid's thing to eat. It was usually something your mum would buy if she had someone over and they were having a cup of tea. That's my memories of Swiss rolls, but certainly only ever something I saw in a bakery. It was never made at home. Not the easiest thing to make. What about you, Helen?
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. My memories as a kid was definitely having them at the local bakery. Being as a whole, it wasn't like a slice of cake that you could buy individually.
No, you'd have never. To buy the whole log. You had to buy it, the whole roll.
But from a Swiss roll perspective, and those in my era growing up in Australia, my memories were more around the old tray of tip-top jam roulettes.
Roulettes.
The roulettes, yeah. Right, that you used to buy. And that was with, if your parents ever bought a packet of jam roulettes, oh my God, they were the best things to eat. And you'd carefully unroll it, and then you'd lick all the jam out.
Mass-produced, commercial. Yep. Swiss rolls, mini Swiss rolls, we would call them jam roulettes. They were amazing. Yeah,
they just were the absolute best. And then for extra special treat was, on the very, very rare occasion, you'd get the packet of nine or 12 of the different flavors.
The mixed.
Remember? The mixed ones. Oh, my God, I totally forgot.
Oh, now we're talking. You know how sweet were, though? They were so sugary sweet. They were amazing. Oh, my God, I've totally forgotten about the mixed.
Yeah, the mixed ones where you'd get chocolate and vanilla and strawberry. And, strawberry was always my favourite.
Well, look.
Because it had the mock cream in it.
True. This is shelf-stable items. Yeah. This is not refrigerated. So we're not talking fresh cream here. We're talking sitting in the aisle in a plastic wrap. But we are children of the Neapolitan flavors, you know, like the 4-liter bucket of vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Those were the height cream of flavors that we grew up with. Yeah.
So that was where I remember first getting my taste, was the old TikTok mass-produced jam roulettes.
Okay, certainly a treat if ever there was one. Yes. Not something mum would make. She'd either buy it from the bakery or buy it from the supermarket. And but I would guess the bakery version, we're talking much fresher, much lighter, and something.
And
that
invariably they had the fresh cream in it as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, not the mock cream, because it was always in the fridge section of the display cabinet.
Yes, you know? Refrigerated and wrapped and ready to be sold. Do they still make jam roulettes? I'm going to need to Google this now, because
they do.
Do they?
Yeah, well, you just haven't been walking down the bakery aisle of the supermarket of late, have you?
No, but the amount of specialty cakes has grown, I think, because you can get things like brownies that are iced in boxes and slices in boxes. Not a very common thing in the 90s. Like now it's much more. Oh, you can. Yeah. Oh, Woolworths make their own jam roulettes. There we go. And so
they do. Woolies brand, Woolies brand and Coles brand roulettes. Yeah, definitely.
Aren't roulettes also used sometimes in the construction of trifles?
Absolutely, they are. And that's generally the only reason why I buy them nowadays. Otherwise, I'd just buy the whole packet and sit there and eat them, right?
Yeah.
But yes, Christmas time, trifle, jam roll, it just is a must.
One of those things that goes well, when you're a kid, goes well with a bit of ice cream too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's funny you talk about, though, the commercially produced sweet that normally would have been made at home, such as brownies and things like that. Just recently I've had to make a number of slices, and they were all very much your traditional slices that you would have to make. And everyone that had them were just saying how wonderful and how lovely and how, you know, delicious they were. And they really, it comes back to basics. It's you take out that commercial element, because when they're mass produced commercially, there's a whole lot of additives and artificial stuff put in there. But when you home make it, it really isn't hard. It just takes not even really a lot of time either. You know, you can whip up a slice in 20 minutes. And you know what the ingredients are that are going in there. So as much as we all love our sweets and we all love our treats, I still feel that homemade is best. And it doesn't have to be an onerous task. It can be really, really simple and basic. You know, 3-4 ingredients sometimes is all you need. And you've got a lovely, delicious homemade thing. But look, I get that there's a market out there for ready-made goods. And sometimes people just can't, you know, for whatever reason, don't want to make at home. And convenience is a huge thing. A lot of the time people don't have the necessary cooking and pantry staples that it takes. But, you know, as you've commented previously, you know, my pantry can support a lot of people in the event that, you know, we have to go into hibernation.
Cue the zombie apocalypse. We're heading to your house. I'm sure you can feed a lot of people there. Yeah,
I'm sure I could whip something up. So it's
I think freshness is one of the areas you just mentioned, right? Like I think a lot of people don't have the confidence that you might have when it comes to baking, and that again is probably people don't do a lot of frequent baking anymore. So the more you do something, the more you get better at it, I think. But also, I think you mentioned that you made some sort of apple slice as part of that.
I did. It was a traditional apple and cinnamon slice, which consisted of a beautiful brown sugar biscuit base that was just flour, brown sugar, and a bit of butter. And you press that into the base of the slice tin. Then all I got was a tin of apples. Every supermarket has them, prepared apples that you would normally, say, use for an apple pie or something like that. So just a single tin of sliced apples, laid that over the top, and then a tub of sour cream. Who would have thought? Tub of sour cream spread over the top of the apples, and then dusted with a bit of cinnamon sugar, and whack that in the oven for 20 minutes, and it came out beautiful. And the sour cream just sets, and immediately you think, oh, sour cream's not going to... It tastes delicious, absolutely delicious. And that one was the hit. A lot of people, you know, commented on how lovely that one is, but it's such a basic recipe, simple, simple recipe, and yet really flavoursome. So back to our Swiss roll.
Now I want to buy some roulettes. What's happening?
Oh, you're going to have to get into them. Get into the jam roulettes, I'm telling you.
All right.
Well, for the Christmas trifle, one last statement on that. For the Christmas trifle, you would normally buy the big jam roll, not the little roulettes, because you'd slice then the jam roll up and you use the slices flat ringing around the trifle bowl.
Yes.
Just being a bit technical there. Sorry.
Okay. Back to the Swiss roll. Helen, you've been doing an amazing amount of research here. So can you tell me, where does this come from?
Well, according to our trusty source of information on the interwebs, Wikipedia, despite it being called a Swiss roll, the origins appear to come from somewhere else within Central Europe, like Austria or Slovenia, believe it or not. Round about the 19th century, it popped up. It kind of appeared around the time of other cake delicacies like the Battenberg cake and donuts and the Victoria sponge. And particularly that kind of, to me, when I was doing that research, I noted that that really does make sense, as the batter for the cake itself is very much a traditional sponge batter. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it kind of popped up in that era, it makes sense, because cooks would have gone, oh, well, I've got this great batter that's been invented, this sponge batter. How else can we present it? Inventions occur when you've got a stable base element. But yeah, look, traditionally it was a vanilla sponge, but obviously over time people started adding other flavours into it and creating the jam rolls that we know today, or the Swiss rolls or the sponge rolls, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, they can be made with many flavours, with the traditional one, as I said, being the plain vanilla sponge. However, there's other variations that you can get, like chocolate, red velvet, lemon, orange, caramel, really matcha if you wanted to. You know, the Asian countries love matcha flavor.
Yes, actually you see them in bakeries now, in Chinese or Korean or Japanese bakeries. They do a matcha green tea sponge.
Exactly. So really your imagination is the limit. So long as you've got that base, the base element of that really lovely light fluffy sponge, you can add whatever flavors you want into it. Much like the cake flavor itself, the fillings themselves can be any manner of filling that your heart desires. So again, the traditional is with a variant of cream, be it fresh or mock or buttercream, as well as jam flavours. However, Swiss rolls can be filled with all other complementary fillings, like a lemon or orange custard, dolce leche, which is a beautiful caramel, fresh fruit, ricotta cheese, whatever complements the flavour of the sponge, you can add as that filling in the roll. It's a wonderful recipe to really let your imagination go wild and experiment with different flavours as well. As I mentioned, it has been called various names over the years, and it looks as though it depends on what country or region in the world that you're from as to how it's referenced. But the usual names are either a Swiss roll, a jelly roll, and jelly obviously being an American reference term for jam, as we would refer to it. Roll cake, cream roll, roulade, Swiss log. They all reference the same thing, but when I think about a Swiss log, I think about that traditional Swiss roll covered in chocolate and then dusted with icing, made to look like a tree log lying down. You know, that's very
traditional. The Yuletide log.
Yuletide log, that's it. Yeah, yes. So when I think of a Swiss log, I think of the Yuletide log. Isn't that funny? That's what comes to my mind.
Okay, so this recipe is, we've got a colour photo of two beautiful, delicate, well-made Swiss rolls ready to be cut. Got a chalky one, and we've got a plain sponge with jam and cream one. And it comes with a printed recipe. It's got a bit of a illustration, and I think that's a wheat. That's a farm-like illustration of some wheat being gathered.
I'd call it a wheat bundle with a scythe and a sickle, a rake and a pitchfork, farming implements.
Idyllic agricultural reference, potentially, to the use of flour here, maybe? I'm not sure.
I reckon that would be my only guess.
Do you think this has come from the back of a packet or something?
So that's a good question. I was thinking about where the recipe would have come from.
Why would they have that illustration there? That's my only thought. It's potentially this is off the back of some flower box, maybe?
I don't know. Look, not the image itself. So do you think that the picture of the Swiss rolls belongs with this recipe, or do you think mum's been a bit clever, found a picture of some Swiss rolls and stuck it together with this recipe?
Oh, I think there's a high chance I'm overthinking this, but potentially, yes. Actually, I'm probably wrong because, as we know, if it's a recipe off the back of a packet, usually you have the brand name referenced in the ingredients list, and we don't have a brand name here.
Yeah, you're right.
So potentially it is from a magazine, but okay. Got ounces, not grams.
So it's imperial.
Today.
Yep.
Imperial.
Definitely imperial. What have we got in terms of ingredients? We've got eggs, sugar, plain flour, corn flour, baking powder, butter, and water. And these are all basic sponge ingredients as per the classic methods of making a sponge. You needed to separate the eggs and then beat the egg whites and the sugar together to form that meringue texture before folding in the remaining ingredients carefully so you don't lose all the air that you've whipped into those egg whites. And that's what makes it that classic sponge. But when I was making the recipe, Pam, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, how did Pam read this? On the actual recipe, it says, 2, then with a large capital L, teaspoons baking powder. What did you read the 2L teaspoons as?
Wow. Well, I didn't even register that until right now. I just read it at the time as 2 teaspoons.
Teaspoons. I read it as 2 large teaspoons. So,
yes.
In other words, 2 heaped teaspoons of baking powder. But I've just never seen it referenced as a capital L.
Oh,
that to
look.
Me was, yeah. I don't think I've ever come across that.
The sponge is light because it includes corn flour as well as flour here, and that's a dead giveaway. And, of course, the egg white separation, which is all about getting air into the batter. I think the one thing this recipe has in its favour is that there's no use of milk necessarily. All you do is use butter melted into water, and that keeps it very light, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, you made the vanilla version, did you?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I suspected you would have. So I actually tackled the chocolate version. And I did the chocolate version. So in the recipe, as you will have seen, they did give that alternative, if you wanted a chocolate roll, of adding a couple of tablespoons of cocoa to the flour and substituting the water with 1 tablespoon of treacle.
Oh,
so
right. Makes it a bit richer,
that.
A bit sweeter.
Bit sweeter. It enhances that chocolatey flavour. Making the recipe, as I said, I tackled the chocolate version, and the chocolate version needed treacle. I didn't have any treacle, so I substituted it with golden syrup, and it still worked perfectly fine. So, look, everything came together really well. However, I think in hindsight, I used the wrong size pan to bake it in. I used my typical slice pan that I use. But in hindsight, I'm thinking I should have used one of my baking trays that I've got. It's a rectangular baking trays that have like a 1 to 1.5 centimeter side around the tray. And I'm thinking I should have actually spread the sponge mixture out into one of those trays and baked it like that, because the mixture itself, the cake itself in my slice tray, it rose a lot higher than what I expected it to rise. And so I had a more smaller, rectangular, thicker sponge than what I wanted. Look, it still came out and it still rose beautifully. And I should have expected that with all that whipping of the egg whites and the baking powder and the corn flour and everything else. It cooked perfectly. As soon as it came out of the oven, I turned it onto a lightly sugared, dusted tea towel. And then while it was still hot, I just gently rolled it up in the tea towel and put it over on the side of the bench to cool, rolled up in the tea towel. When it cooled, though, and I went to unroll it, because in my chocolate version, I just did standard basic whipped cream with a bit of sugar and a bit of vanilla in the whipped cream. So when I went to unroll it, lo and behold, the damn thing broke apart in the middle. Lengthways, right? It literally broke into 2 lengthways. It had cooled into a beautiful rolled form. So when I unrolled it, it was still curved, but it broke apart in the middle. So I whipped up my cream and I used the cream as a bit of spack filler, and I just kind of filled it all up and brought it together with the cream and put the cake back into a roll form again, just using the cream as a bit of a joiner between the two halves. This just meant that I had to use a bit more cream than I had expected to use, but I don't think anyone's ever complained about that. and then whacked it on a nice little tray, a little slice tray or a roll tray, and dusted it with a bit of icing sugar, because dusted icing sugar covers all flaws.
Manner of sins, yes.
All manner of sins.
Well, normally so, that would be nice thick icing here covering any crack in the cake, but we don't have that here. So absolutely no. Great idea, icing sugar.
Yep, yep. So, yeah, and look, tasted fabulous. What wasn't there to like about it? It was a chocolate sponge with a ton of cream. Mm. So, yeah, it was great for me. But the all-important question, how did you go making a vegan version? I'm dying to hear.
If I was meant to make a sponge in a square, I would have aced this assignment. It's a flexible recipe that, knowing what I know about how to substitute for the egg whites, worked. I got a very light, tasty sponge out of in a rectangle format. I used aquafaba. I whipped it up to stiff yep. peaks. I also used my baking powder kind of substitute that I normally use for any sort of vegan cake riser. So it had mm-hmm. so much rising ability. But of course, because it doesn't have something within egg whites is almost flexible, there's no flex. And so I should have known, right. Even it came out, it looked beautiful. It was light and it had risen. It was airy, but it was already starting to have tiny little hairline cracks over the top of the sponge.
Ah, right.
So
okay.
Did my darndest, went to roll it as you're supposed to do while it's still warm, like you said. Yeah. And the thing just broke as soon as I went to roll it. So then I left it to cool. I thought, okay. And funnily enough, too, when I did the whole get a clean tea towel, cover it in sugar, and then put the sponge over the top, none of that stuck, which I thought was real weird. Maybe because the sponge was too dry or something. I would have much rather sprinkle sugar over the top of it before I baked it than do that faff. I mean, talk about a messy exercise. You get a tea towel on your kitchen bench, you cover the tea towel in sugar, then you're putting this sponge on the tea towel. Anyway,
yeah,
it cracked. Basically, what I ended up with was a long rectangle, multiple layered sponge. And good news is that I used a new-ish product, which was a plant-based thickened cream, and it's made by Flora. It's great.
Yeah.
I whipped it up. It whips just like cream.
Wow.
And I guess I just, like, when you say spack filler, Helen, I think I liberally dosed this thing with strawberry jam and cream. So
perfect.
It looked like, you know, it just looked like a messy, delish kind of stacked layer at the top.
A layered cake.
Yeah.
Layered sponge. Perfect.
Layered sponge, kind of thin rectangle.
Yeah,
that was what I ended up with. That's what I rescued. It tasted great, but not a roll.
No.
Not say that's a Swiss roll by any stretch.
Yeah, it was a roll with its sides cut off.
Yes.
It was a trimmed roll.
Nothing was rolled. Let's put it this way. It just I folded just this bad boy, you know, and it was lovely. It was lovely. Not something I would normally make. And
would you make it again?
No.
Okay.
only because I know it's not going to work in a vegan world. I don't think.
Right.
Things maybe there's an amazing vegan sponge recipe out there that is bendable enough to be moved into a circular shape, but it's not worth it. I'd probably just buy the plant-based cream and buy those jam roulettes and combine the two for a dessert. But it was a nice exercise.
Those jam roulettes are not vegan, though.
No.
I'm just telling you, Nick. They're not.
Well, the ones with mock cream are, because there's probably no There's probably no vegan, there's probably no animal products in mock cream, most of which is probably just like sugar and some sort of like oil
preservatives.
Yeah. But yeah, it was fun. It was a fun recipe. And I did indeed sift icing sugar over the top.
Yeah. I rest my case. It hides all evils, right?
True.
Any cracks, it's perfect. Look, I think I will make this one again. I'd like to try the vanilla, just the base vanilla, and do jam and cream again. I'd like to see how it had come out in the baking tray with just a really thin layer of sponge. You know?
I think it would roll easier the thinner it gets. Yeah.
And I think that's why mine broke in half, because it was just too thick. I think the whole intent of the sponge needs to be a really thin sheet of sponge. I'd do it again just to try and test out my theory on that one. But yeah, yummy. Yummy, yummy, yum.
Absolutely.
Chocolate and cake and cream. What's not to love?
Definitely a winner in that sense. Tasty and light. If you want to have a go at making this Swiss roll, you can find the original recipe and the pictures of how we've made it at our Instagram. The handle is cookingourbooks1, or find the link in the show notes of this episode. Our theme music is by Josh Woodward. Been fantastic to have you along for this episode. And thank you, Helen.
Thanks, Pam. Bye, everyone.
Bye.